listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being also simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, guys, and if you can't afford a few bucks for the kiddies for these stations, there's a lot of work put into this to get these shows out for you guys, and I know the producers, the people behind the scenes would appreciate any kind of support that you can give them. So if you can spare a couple bucks, please throw it into the kitty. And also, I like to start my show, because a lot of times I forget, to thank my producer, Steve Roberts, for doing what he does every week for me and putting up with me and doing a great job. I'm joined by Ron Stevens, and I know people that have listened to me over the years have heard Ron talk many, many times on my shows. I love getting the man in. I have found over the years Ron to be a great wealth of information as far as going on inside the United Nations and how they're getting their tentacles deep into Canada right now. We were talking just before the show started, and we both had to force ourselves to listen to Justin Trudeau's address to the United Nations. It was a taped address, and I gagged about three times during the course of his talk. I don't know how many times you gagged, Ron, but it was brutal to listen to. But of course, we got to listen to what this idiot is saying so we understand just how bad the sheeple are being taken in this country, man. How are you doing? And welcome back to the show, Ron Stevens.
I'm doing great, and I just want to say, if you're a listener supported station, as I do my show on Revolution Radio, we have got to keep these networks on the air, people. Okay, so you know they have untold gazillion dollars to push their propaganda in that, and these listener-supported shows are running on shoestrings, and that's the only place you're going to get the truth. So dig into your pocket and grab 10 or 20 bucks and donate it, please. And the other thing I want to say before we get started is I want to take my hat off to Steve. Hell of a guy and dedicated guy, and does a wonderful job.
Yeah, he's not too bad. An old guy with a beard, man.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to have one.
Steve's done a great job. I don't know how he puts up with me some weeks, Ron. I really don't, but he has, and he's managed to keep going. So,
he's definitely a good man.
He's a good man to put up with me. He's got to be a good man. but anyways, it's been probably a month now since we talked, Ron. I think it's been probably a month, maybe even a little longer, but yeah we've just, the insanity levels in Canada just seem to be exploding right now. And I am, you know, I'm kind of sitting back watching this whole thing unfold right now, Ron, and kind of wondering if we are actually going to be able to wake up the people in Canada. But then I get on the internet and I see demonstrations in Montreal that they say between 40 and 100,000 people were on the streets. They can't give us an actual number. But CBC, of course, and CTV and Global, I don't think there was a word mentioned about the people that were on the streets in Montreal. I don't know if you saw that demonstration. But it really seems to tell me that Canadians are kind of waking up in droves right now. And I'm actually seeing that in my community now. People are getting involved in some serious conversations about what's going on in Canada.
Yeah, and it's taken forever to happen. I mean, I am so happy right now that people are actually waking up. It's like they've been asleep forever. And I was absolutely convinced when this COVID thing came along that was going to start to wake people up, and it seems to be doing the job. And so we have to keep doing what we're doing. But I'm not a protester. I never understood it. I don't see the point in it. It doesn't solve anything. It really doesn't do anything. Now, if you have 40 to 100,000 people or something?
Yeah, actually, the numbers that I got, and if you look at the videos yourself of the demonstration, it's solid wall to wall people for as far as you can basically.
Right. So if those 40,000 plus people simply went and printed a two-side or made a brochure on a piece of 8.5x11 paper, and instead of prancing around on the streets, printed up an info package and went door to door and handed them out. And if people want to talk, fine, talk to them. If they don't want to talk, just hand it to them and walk away. But that would do a hell of a lot more good than hanging out in the street with signs and this stuff. It doesn't make any sense. The problem with Canadians is, and this is the problem, they'll go to a demonstration, and most of them don't even know what the hell it's about or who's behind it or anything else. But they'll go, and if you talk to people at demonstrations, most of them don't have a clue what's really going on. But you know, when we were fighting windmills, because I was a reporter in Calgary in the '70s, and you know, figured out the scam of the Saudi oil crisis. And they were pushing windmills and solar panels and electric cars and all the rest of the nonsense then. Then it was called alternative energy, not renewable energy. But once they got what they wanted, which was the tariffs on the import cars dropped, all of a sudden the electric car disappeared. And the windmills rotted that were up, rotted in the fields, and it was over because they got what they wanted. So when I was well aware of the fraud, so when they started putting up windmills around here, I got working with some of the people who didn't want them around their houses, out in the farms and that. And I was really disappointed in the people because, you know, I said, well, you know, bitching and complaining about it isn't going to work. We have to get the people on side. So, you know, we need to do up an information package and take it door to door. And I was absolutely astounded by the weakness of my Canadian people at the time. This was back 2005, 2007. And, you know, and people, they're going, what, you want us to go and drop stuff off at people's houses? We don't know the people? Yeah.
Why not?
Well, we couldn't do that. Well, then fine, let's take the phone book and split the phone book up so you can stay at home. And all you have to do is read what's in front of you to the people so they understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And what, you want us to call somebody we don't know? Yeah.
Why not?
Well, we couldn't do that. Well, then what are you whining and bitching about the windmills for? If you can't step up to the plate, and you're always looking for somebody else to come and save your butt, you're going to lose. Simple as that. Because all the media is pushing whatever it is they're pushing at any time. The councils are all involved in it. And if the people are too shy to step up and speak up or hand some information out to the people, then we lose. And whose fault is that? Ours. So we got it. We're going to have to stiffen our spines a little bit. We don't have to get angry. Okay. Although anger is a good motivator.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be angry when you're doing what you're doing. You can be very calm about it. But the idea is we have to got to get the information to the people. Now, you we're the same age, Barry. You know and I know that the independent media was wiped out by the end of the 70s in order to push the agendas forward. They don't want any, you know, back talk. So now there's no independent papers. There's no independent radio. There's no independent anything. It's all control. And so now we have to take control of moving the information. That's our job now. You know, if you go all the way back to the 1500s when Luther outed Rome and the Pope and the Catholic Church and all the rest of the nonsense and the J's and the M's, if Gutenberg hadn't fired up the press at that particular time, the information would have never been put out. But Gutenberg set up the press just when, at the same time that Luther called him out, and whoever took it to Gutenberg and said, "You want to print this?" And they printed the snot out of it, and it was it was sent everywhere,
right?
Which woke the people up, and right. The people that woke up are our forefathers who came here to build us a new house out from under the boot of tyranny. But over time, they got the foot back in the door and put the boot back on us. So,
yeah.
You know, we do have the power to fix this. All we have to do is get motivated. And I'm going to do up a flyer, or not a flyer, I'm going to do up a brochure and hand it out at the school, the high school here, so that the students understand what the teachers are up to and what the council's up to, so that they can go and look into this themselves. Because I tell the students, if you don't ask questions, you're not going to go look for an answer.
Well, you tell me a lot about, you know, young people really starting to pay attention to what you're saying right now, Ron. And
they are.
Well, I'm experiencing it in my family now because we were having a conversation there yesterday, but I didn't tell you about what my daughter's doing right now. She went on the internet, and I haven't actually seen the list yet, but she went and printed up a list of every criminal activity perpetrated by Justin Trudeau and the Liberals since they've taken power. The Canadians have a very, very, very short memory. All these criminal activities that have gone on inside the government aren't being exposed. They get brushed under the rug by mainstream, and you never, ever hear anything about it again. And, of course, it's on to the next scandal. But what she did, she's going to bring me over and show me the list, but she made up a list of 12 of the most blatant criminal offenses that Justin Trudeau could actually be charged with criminal offense in Canada, and she went to the mall yesterday and stood in the mall and handed them out to people.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Refreshing people's memory about just how criminal this prime minister is.
Well, it's not just this prime minister. When I put that video up, I made sure that to tell people, you know, don't ever forget that it was Mulroney, not a liberal,
yeah,
who signed us to Agenda 21, and it was Harper, a conservative, who signed us to Agenda 2030 just shortly before Tinkerbell T took over. Okay, so this runs across both sides, and it's been going on for a very, very long time. So when I hear people bitching just about Trudeau, it makes me want to throw up because what you don't know anything that happened before Trudeau showed up?
Yeah,
quicker now.
Yeah.
And they're more blatant now because they believe the people have been dumbed down so bad that that they're just going to sit back and accept whatever they throw at them. And that's unfortunate. But I'm so happy what you said about, is that your daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the same thing happened here. My family didn't want to hear anything I had to say since I was very young. And as far as what's going on. And I just noticed about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so, my niece's husband was sharing my posts on Facebook, which really blew me away. And then my sister, who didn't want to know anything, is now also sharing the posts. So people are waking up, you know. So we have the power to shut this nonsense down. We just have to roll up our sleeves and let's get to work. You know, there's very few of them and a whole hell of a lot of us, which just makes us the power.
Yeah.
And we just have to activate it. And I keep telling people, you know, our forefathers who came here must have suffered a lot. I mean, you got off a boat, you got a bush sitting and looking at you in the face, you don't have dick all tools, and you're going to build your communities in that. So they worked hard, they suffered, which makes our job much easier than their job was. And if they could do that, and they were that strong and that determined to build us a new house out from under the boot of tyranny, their blood's still coursing through our veins. We just got to reactivate it.
Well, yeah, Canadians have got to find that and find it quick because we're the most apathetic people in the world. We're apathetic. Our society, we've never really, you know, when you think about it, Ron, you know, Canada's never really been experienced or had to experience what Europe had to experience during the course of a war. We haven't had things go on in Canada that the rest of the world has got to experience. So therefore, Canadians have become so comfortable in their little bubble. And it's been that way for years and years and years in Canada. Now the enemy is at our gates and he's coming in the door. And how are Canadians going to react to it, Ron? I mean, I know there's a lot of Canadians out there, but I know there's a lot of Canadians out there with lots of intestinal fortitude. I'm talking to one of them right now. I know that you know a lot of people that are going to stand up and we're willing to die to protect our country. But it's the ones that have become so conditioned to accept what the government
is
really hard to reach, Ron. They're hard to get to.
This is actually an easy war for us to win because it's a psychological war. You know, they've been bombing people's minds for a long, long time with propaganda and lies. And, so it's just psychological war. And, we have to, turn the psychological war over so that we're dealing with reality, not this fictional nonsense they're throwing at us. And, we can win. But, you know, it's really funny when you bring up about Canadians, because when I was in grade 9, we actually had a gun range in the school, and we were encouraged to become good marksmen in case we were ever invaded. And then when we moved in 69 to this town, they had a siren down at the main park in town, and every Monday or Tuesday night at 7-8 o'clock, the siren would go off. So that, and the siren was about if we were ever going to be invaded, that this would alert people.
Right.
But the gun range, I'm sure, is gone out of the school now, and the siren is not there anymore. It was only there till about 71 or so. And that's when they really started pushing the climate crap. And, you know, the bow down stuff and whatnot to weaken the people. Because when I was a child, we were told to be strong. And then they started to weaken the people. And they've been doing it for many, 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 many decades now. And but what I was saying before is I'm so amazed when I'm talking to young students. They don't believe much of what the teachers are telling them. And that's amazing. And I think, you know, that's why they brought COVID in, because the idea of this climate crisis thing has been going on for so long. And where's this climate crisis you're talking about? And it was losing its punch.
Yep.
So they brought in the COVID to combine it with the
climate agenda.
The climate agenda and the racism. I was reading from a magazine this morning this afternoon on my show. And it's called Alive, and it's from British Columbia. And it's all about it's a health magazine. I guess they have them in the drugstores and that. And so they have all these supplements and all this stuff. But they also have the agendas in there. And, you know, I was reading it today, and it was all about COVID-19 and how it's attached to the climate crisis, and also a racism, apparently, because apparently the minority people have a bigger chance of catching COVID, and that makes us racist somehow. But they had it all tangled together. And then if you want to talk to the government, then you should go to the David Suzuki Foundation site and, sign the petition. But then when I looked at the start of the magazine, where they have all the information of who writes and sales and all that stuff, at the bottom of it says, you know, the government of Canada is involved, right? And which is why we need to keep these networks on the air. Because there's no money coming into them except for the people that understand what's going on. So, you know, here's a magazine that's been around for 40 years. And my brother-in-law, whose wife has lupus, used to get the magazine all the time to about, I think it was about 2010 or a little earlier. That all of a sudden the owner of the magazine somehow disappeared and the magazine got taken over. And now we have the government of Canada is obviously funding this thing
to
push the agendas. And so all of this propaganda, that's something that should really tick people off. All of this propaganda that's coming at you, guess who's paying for it? We are. Yeah.
You were paying for our own demise. Isn't that great that we all figured out, Ron?
Yeah, like we gotta get our act together here.
Yeah, let's pay CBC to feed us absolute crap and propaganda.
If you saw somebody on the street, Barry, would you say, if I give you $500, would you go and steal some stuff out of my house for me?
No problem, buddy. No problem.
You wouldn't go there. But why are we paying for our for all this propaganda nonsense?
Well, I actually applied for the new job with Justin Trudeau. It was posted there online that he's looking for a storyteller. And the salary is $92,000 a year. So I applied for it, Ron. I figured $92,000 a year to tell stories about Justin. Sign me up, buddy.
Well, then we'd get the right story.
That's a legitimate posting, guys. You believe that? $92,000 a year to tell stories about Justin. I just about fell off my chair when I read that, Ron. But nothing surprises me with this government. Nothing. Go ahead.
Somebody put a comment in on my Facebook about the WHO or something, and I didn't even think about it. I just commented back. You're talking about the horrors. What the hell I call it? Horrors of Hell organization.
Mm.
And people seemingly really like that. You know, we just have to, you know, because there's no guns involved here. Okay. Nobody's dropping bombs on us. There's bombing the mind. And that's just psychological. And so we have all the power we need to turn it around. I'm sure once I hand this brochure out to the students, they're going to be glaring at their teachers And as I always tell the students, you know, you have to challenge the teachers. You can't just sit back and accept what they're telling you. Okay? And you have to challenge them. So once again, give them the brochure and give them some links to go, you know, go check stuff out. I think that they're going to turn on the teachers, which is what needs to be done.
That needs to happen right away, Ron.
Yeah. And we need to turn on our councils. Because our councils, we had an NGO or a CAO here came from Sydney, BC, and I had a meeting with him, and he's telling me he never heard about Agenda 21, and I says, well, when I look back at Sydney, that's all you were implementing, mm-hmm. right? You know, these are just liars and deceivers and why anyone would want to destroy their own country is totally beyond me.
Well, you know, I think, Ron, they think they're part of the big party. Okay. And, anyone that's listening to this show right now, that's involved in the destruction of this country, you think you're invited to the big party, but you're not, you're just a pawn, but you're one step up the ladder from me and Ron. And the rest of the citizens in this country is all you are. And when the time comes, they're going to stomp on you just as fast as they're stomping on us. So be warned. You think you're doing a good thing, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So wake up.
Well, actually, I have a friend of mine who's on council up north here now who I talked into running. Didn't want to, but I finally talked him into it. But took him a long time to get onto council. But he sent me a document that once the mayors are elected, they're sent to wherever.
Yep, the council meeting.
They're taught and programmed to believe that global warming is real, mm-hmm. right? They're sent somewhere and then they're propagated and the psychology gets at them, and so that they are convinced that global warming is real, then they send them back to the council. Hmm. And then the CAO, who is specifically trained to move these agendas, now has a mayor who believes what the CAO is saying. And the CAO is the one that sets the council agenda. And so, you know, we have to get control of our communities. Once we control these communities, we have the power. I mean, my friend up north, they only have five counselors, I think it is. And they finally, I was talking to him a little bit ago, and he said they finally got it. They have three people on council now. Who are 100% against these agendas coming in, and said the mayor's pulling his hair out because every time they go to put in one of these agendas, they have majority vote, and they just throw it in the trash can, and making the mayor nuts, which is fine. Because once we control our councils, we control our administration.
Exactly.
And then, you know, we have the power to say no. Well, you can't say no at the federal level. You ain't got no power there. You can't say no at the provincial level. You got no power there. And nobody lives at the federal or the provincial level. We all live in our communities. And if we don't have control of our communities, we have control of nothing. Well, and therefore, Ron, they're just going to roll over top of us.
I know. We've had this conversation a lot of times. And, you know, I absolutely agree with what you're saying, because all mayors are members of the Council of Mayors of their existing provinces or wherever their jurisdictions are. They go to the meetings. They're on the agenda. They're told to do what to do by the government, basically. And we, like you said, we have no control unless we get control at the council level. But here's the problem I see we have right now, Ron. I don't think we're going to be able to get people on board with this idea quick enough right now to stop the destruction of Canada.
Well, no, that's not true, Barry.
Right now, Ron, Well, right now we have a major problem. We have a government that is completely out of control, that is in working conjunction with many other governments in the world, propagating the same agenda, and they're ramming it down our throats right now. We need to stop this now. How can we do that without taking, my question would be, without taking back control of the council? Because I agree, that's the way to handle this situation, but that's not going to happen overnight. What do we do in the meantime?
It can happen overnight. I mean, if you have 40,000 people out in the streets protesting, and they're not going to accomplish anything. I mean, these silly protests about masks just makes me want to throw up. You know, it's not doing anything. It's not going to do anything. It's just a waste of time. Now, if you have 40,000 people that will go out and protest whatever they're protesting, and simple math, and I've said it before, if you've got 7 people on your council, you run 21 candidates. Because if you run 21 candidates versus there are 7 candidates, you now have the power to change the narrative. Okay? One running can't change the narrative. Okay? And if you have 21 candidates run, you only need 4 elected. Now you got majority. Okay? It's just very simple math. And if you have, you know, we need to have meetings with people and grow that core, and then take the people and have them go out and hand out information at the doors or call people, whatever, because you know, and I know, Barry, that the majority of people are not real. They're kind of queasy about what's going on, but they're not sure about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get the information to them so they know what's going on, they're not going to change their attitude. Once people understand that their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are at immense risk, and that you, the parent, or the grandparent, or the great-grandparent, have a duty to those children. Once that gets into people's minds, everything changes.
I would absolutely agree with you, Ron.
And once people say no, one man can say no, and they ain't going to do squat.
Yep.
But if you have the people in your community say no, then it's over. Simple as that. You know, because even if you don't control the council, once the majority of the people in the community tells the council to go suck air, mm-hmm. we're not going to bow down to what you just put in. We're going to 100% ignore it. Even if you have 10% of your population saying no, you have the power. You know, your community's what, 20,000 people?
Yeah, something not quite that much, but close.
Well, call it 20. And so if even 10% of the people, 2,000 people in your community say no, okay, it's no. Simple as that. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it one more time. No, people were trained not to say no. They were trained to accept whatever authority tells them to do. Now, little town Shawville, Quebec, when they came in with the new French law, the language law, and they came to Shawville, Quebec, which is just across the Ottawa River, and told them that you haven't changed your signs yet. And the people in that little town is only about 1,400 people. So what are you talking about? Well, we passed legislature. About what? Well, you have to have French-only signs. Says who? Well, we went through the legislature. And that little community just looked at them and said, didn't ask us. Okay, so we're not changing the sign. We're happy with the way it is. It's a town that's basically 50-50 French-English. Everybody gets along fine. Don't come in here and try to change things. So they went away. They came back and tried to renegotiate and said, okay. You can have your English signs, but you got to have really tiny fonts and great big French fonts. And once again, the people told them to suck air, right? This is our town, okay? And that's the attitude people have to get. This is our town. Why are we implementing globalist agendas into our town, which are designed to harm everybody in the town? Mm-hmm. So the language people went away again. They came back one more time. And the people, old people in walkers and mothers pushing baby buggies, just walked these clowns to the edge of town and said, don't ever come back here. As far as I know, they still got their signs. But that's the power of the word no. That's the power of the community.
Well, I agree with you, Ron. If there was ever a time for civil disobedience in Canada, this is the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
No violence is required.
No, just civil disobedience. That's our duty right now, to be civilly disobedient to this government.
We're not doing it.
I know that, Ron.
I've been in construction. I mean, and I'm surprised because I always thought construction guys were the tougher end, and they're so weak now, it's pathetic. It's just really sad. But, you know, people, you know, said, how'd you get away with that? I told them, no. Well, you have to do this, they said. No, I don't. Well, if you don't do what we tell you, you'll go to court. Fine, hurry up and book it. Let's go. And they go, well, you're not afraid of us. No, I'm not. So let's go to court. Well, maybe we don't need to go there. And they back off. Mm. It's about attitude. And if you have a strong attitude, you win. If you're not going to bow down to them, if you don't live in fear, and you know that, you know, well, if I said that, I might get in trouble. What do you mean get in trouble? Our whole nation's being taken down.
We're
in
trouble already, buddy.
Yeah.
And you know what? Three of these fines that went to court so far for $880 fines have been thrown out by the judge. So a precedent's already been set. So if they threaten to take you to court, guys, take the ticket and go to court. Because we need everybody to go into the courtrooms right now and challenge this government. Even though the courts are corrupt, Ron, it's the only avenue. I know the court system's corrupt. But to me, honestly, right now, it's the only avenue I see to stem the tide right now until we can incorporate the thought in the community of getting involved in their communities and taking it back, because what you're talking about, taking strength back at the community levels, absolutely resonates with me, and it is the way to stop this. But I keep coming back with this problem that we have a short window of opportunity right now to stop this madness, Ron. I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy. I really don't consider myself to be a fear-mongering type of guy. But I look at the situation right now and what's going on globally, and that if we don't stem this quick, we might lose it. And I don't want to ever say that. I will never quit fighting, but we could lose it. And that's a fact. So
you can only lose it if you believe you can lose it. I hear a lot of people talk about that. You know, they'll say, well, you know, they're on top of us now. Well, there's not much we can do. Well, if we would have done what we were supposed to have done decades ago, we wouldn't be in this position. So the position we are in is not the globalist's fault. It's our fault.
Hey, I agree with you.
100% our fault.
I didn't say we're defeated yet. I just said that the window of opportunity to stop this is getting very small, and I believe
They've been at this for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and they've got to perfect it.
But they don't have the power, okay? Once the people understand that the whole thing is a complete and total fraud is against the law, okay? You know, we have to educate people. We were turned into animals, which gave them dominion over us. Okay, we were supposed to have dominion. we were not supposed to be deceived, and we got deceived, and we were turned into humans. And the definition of human by the human by the UN Human Rights is something that evolved from a great ape, which is an animal, which gives them dominion over us. Okay, and we have to take our dominion back. Okay, we have got to get away from this idea of being a human and get back to being men and women. And then we have dominion. The legal system is a complete 100% fraud. And you can follow that back to Rome. And all the legal system is Roman slave law and the Roman Catholic Church sin taxes or sin fines combined and rebranded as legal, spread across the world to enslave the people. You know, people go, well, I got to go vote. Well, you can't vote. Okay? You don't vote. You cannot vote. Okay? Only the legal person can vote, which is the Roman slave owner. You vote as the proxy for that fictional legal person. Okay? So we got to get back to law. We have to unincorporate our communities, and then we own them. Can it be done? Absolutely. If they've done this to us, then guess what? We can undo it. Ignorance is not bliss, it's dangerous. And the people of our nation have been ignorant for way too long. And once we get the knowledge to our people, then our people become strong again.
Well, you're right. Ignorance is programmed into people. I agree. It's getting that knowledge to people.
That's what they sold. They sold people on ignorance, right? Ignorant people we can control. Intelligent people we can't, because we don't have the power to do it. So we have to get out of that sleep mode and get active. But you know, and I know, Barry, we've been at this a long time. I mean, people that I talked to 10 years ago didn't want to hear a damn thing. And today, those same people all of a sudden want to hear what I got to say, which is kind of freaky. But they're starting to question. And once they start to question, they go looking for answers, because that's the whole point of asking a question. Mm-hmm. And so the people want to know now. And people like you and I and the other people that are wide awake, that's our responsibility. You know, we have that responsibility. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it is our responsibility. It's our duty.
And you said earlier in the show, Ron, and never have you said a more true thing, that if we could get through to the general population in Canada, just how much danger our country is in and where our country is going in the very near future, we would see Canadians get off their butts and get involved. It's getting that information to the people. Mainstream media will never inform the public about what's going on in the country. Yeah, the only way they get that information right now is through little shows like mine, little shows like yours, and all the other people in Canada that are speaking the truth.
Well, yeah, but we also got to get to the doors. How long does it take to put the information out door to door? You can do a newspaper up and print it for $1,000, $2,000 or whatever and get it out to the people, or you can just print off brochures or flyers and give them information, because you can walk down any street anywhere, anytime, and most of the people on the street don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. And because there's no independent newspapers left, we have to become the independent newspapers. And, even if you're not putting out a newspaper, you can just put out. We had a newspaper in town here called The Independent. And the guy was working for a newspaper and didn't like what they were pushing. So he started his own newspaper a long, long time ago. And he was asking some serious questions about what the council was up to and that. And then they put out a notice that that they weren't going to advertise any community stuff in the newspaper anymore, which would put them out of business instantly. Right. And I waited for this, and he bowed down, right, to keep the paper going, and then they sold it, and it's just 100% pushing the propaganda now. So, it's up to us because we're not attached to anything. They can't, threaten us anyway. We're just simply putting out the information, and it doesn't take long. Even if your town is 20,000 people, you get 10, 20 people, you can fire the entire town, in a very short period of time. And if you only get 10% of those people who go, what the hell? All of a sudden, everything starts to change, right? Because once you get them people awake, then the next stage is to take them and get them to go to the council. Okay? Take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people to the council, which is a hell of a lot more useful than doing a 40,000 person protest. And start questioning the councils and start outing what they're up to, because most council meetings are recorded and played on the local cable television. So, there's so many ways to get the information out to the people. And if we can show the people that their children and grandchildren are at very high risk here, and that it's our duty to make sure that that risk is removed. The other part people don't seem to understand about this country is this is the richest country on the planet, bar none. 37 million people, second largest landmass, with more resources than you can shake a stick at. And here we have more and more people living in tents and living in their vehicles or living on the street. Does that make any sense to anybody? Of course not. The game is to third world everybody.
Exactly. That's where they're taking us. We
have all these resources at our disposal. We don't manufacture anything anymore because that was all taken to China. Now they want to take our oil, gas, and coal to China. There's some lady from Australia, I read a story, wants to start an open pit coal mine in Alberta. Why? Where's the coal going? To China? What did Morris Strong said? Nobody can compete with us because we got the cheapest labor on the planet. Now they want the cheap resources. So if they stop us from using our oil and gas and coal and that, and then there's no cost on it now. Or the cost is extremely low, and the idea is to ship it to very low-wage countries so that they have the lowest energy costs and the lowest labor costs. We ourselves here have to put the tariffs back up. There's nothing we can't design, engineer, manufacture, or grow for the purpose of the people of our nation.
Absolutely.
And if people want to trade with us, absolutely. Okay? But it's going to be a fair trade. Now, if somebody in China makes a shoe and it costs $10 and your shoe here costs $20, then we got a $10 tariff on it. Okay? Now we have an equal cost. Now, if you like the design of the shoe from China and you think the quality of the shoe from China is better than the quality of the shoe here, then by all means, buy the damn thing. But when we cannot manufacture anything because it's an open door, because our cost of living here is higher than it is for the people in China, then we lose.
Well, that we sounds, have no control that sounds over like anything. That sounds like a setup to destroy a country to me, Ron. Come on, buddy. Let me get this straight, Ron. Now, we're exporting coal to China by the ton. And burning coal produces carbon, but we are trying to reduce our carbon footprint because carbon's bad for the world. So what happens, I guess, the air masses don't move on the planet. If they're producing the carbon over there, it stays in China. It doesn't move around the planet. The air doesn't move around the planet, right? So their carbon doesn't affect us, our atmosphere, in any shape or form.
China's building coal plants.
Because we wouldn't be selling them coal then, would we?
Well, no. I mean, China's building coal plants in India now because they got low labor.
They got 19 of them under construction right now, Ron. 19. Well,
I mean, but it's all about business. It's not about environment. It's not about viruses. It's all about business.
Humor to this.
And I wish everybody would just go get that one book, Cloak of Green by Alain Dewar, and read it. Get it from your library. Don't buy it off Amazon because it costs like somewhere between $800 and $1,500. But that book came out just after Rio, and Alain Dewar, I gotta take my hat off to her, she went to do a short story for a magazine, and Suzuki was there, and Elizabeth May was there, and some guy from the Amazon was there, and she was not what you call a reporter. She was one with a thought process, and when she got there, she goes, something not right here. And that turned into a 4-year investigative report, which culminated in the book Cloak of Green, which completely outs the entire environmental movement. It's all about business and power and money.
Yep.
And they've taken our power. They've taken our money. Our people are suffering like hell now. And if we don't turn it around, the suffering is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And that is our fault. We built everything. That means we own this nation. Okay? And we have the power to turn it around. All we have to do is get moving and lose the fear. There's nothing whatsoever to be fearful about.
Well, fear is the virus, buddy.
It's yes,
the only
it is.
Virus in our society right now. And I'll tell you, knowledge alleviates fear, Ron. And I today I'm walking, I was out and there's two young people, 19 years old, walking down the streets, masks over their face. And I had to stop for a second, just for 1 second. And I threw three really quick facts at them and I left. And you could see their jaws drop. My daughter said she experienced the same thing yesterday, Ron, that she was handing out a simple little piece of paper and people would sit there and they'd look at it for a minute and you could see a puzzled look come on their faces and they'd run down the list and they'd look at it and a lot of them thanked her for that.
Well,
it's
all about the solution, Barry. And I may have said this.
It's an example of what we can do, Ron, to wake people up.
Well, it's all about the solution. I was working at the Calgary airport, and I was offered a really good job. I went to Winnipeg as a supervisor, but I decided to go to Vancouver Island, and I was told there was no work there because of a recession. So when I got there, because I'm a firm believer, you can always, if you can't find it, you can make it. But when I got there, there was a recession in Nanaimo. And people were at desks and they were holding up signs and they're protesting and all the rest of this and having people sign petitions. And I stopped talking to these people. I said, what's the problem? Well, we're getting ripped off for our benefits. There's that benefit thing again, make you weak. And so I just went through it with them. And I said, so why are you getting people to sign petitions? Why are you protesting that? Well, somebody help us. Why don't you just fix it yourself? I mean, if it's your problem, fix the damn thing.
Yep.
So I went through three different government agencies three times to make sure I got this right. And I simply went and wrote an article, took it to the Nanaimo News. They read it, told me to get the hell out because the town's controlled. But then I did find an independent guy, and he read it. And he says, this is really important stuff. He says, can you back this up? And I said, wouldn't be on paper if I can't back it up. Mm-hmm. And he says, man, this has got to go. But he says, I'm just going to press. and I'll have to wait till next week. I said, fine, I don't care. And so then when I got back to my sister's place, he called and he says, I pulled a bunch of other stuff out. This is too important. It's got to go. But I got to warn you, I had to phone the mayor and these other agencies to let them know the shit's coming at them.
Yeah.
I says, that's fine. I don't care. Then I started getting calls from these agencies in the mayor's office inviting me out for dinner.
Hey, Ron.
And I just told him, I says, I don't care about dinner. Just fix the frickin' problem. And within 2 days, there was no deaths, there was no petitions, there was no protesting. Just and get Ron, to the solution. The solution.
Our hour is gone, buddy.
Well, so I gotta tell you.
Yeah, but I'm just
I had no idea what we were going to talk about.
We can go further, Ron, no problem. But
I can't say how much I appreciate being on your show, buddy.
Well, Ron, it's always a pleasure having you in, my friend. And real quick, people can find your show on Revolution Radio called Rock the Boat Radio with Ron Stevens. Go look him up and have a listen to what Ron has to say. He's always got good stuff to share. Thanks for coming in today, Ron.
And thank you, and thank Stephen.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back in about 4 minutes with Mark Friesen, guys. Hold a little chat. Back in four. Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Ron Stevens for joining me. It's always great talking with Ron. I'm joined the second hour here by Mark Friesen. Mark is known in the radio world as the Grizzly Patriot. Mark does podcasts on a regular basis and is very active in fighting the craziness we see going on in Canada. Welcome to the show, Mark. Always good to have you back. And I'd like to maybe start the show off with your pet peeve of the week. I mean, I've got 10 of them. What's your number one?
Yeah, and thanks again for having me on, Barry. I always appreciate coming on your show. A pet peeve of the week, you know, again, I mean, there's a top 10 list at least, and they're all equal. So it's hard to nail down one pet peeve. But again, I think for me, you know, my frustration level is high, and it's frustration at just the amount of people that refuse to accept the truth, refuse to even entertain the truth for fear of having their bubble burst. You know, that's probably the biggest pet peeve I have. Mm-hmm. You know, although I am seeing some, you know, awakening, I am seeing some people, you know, that don't generally speak up, that are speaking up now. So, you know, I think it's happening. It's just, you know, it's so frustrating for folks like myself and many others that are fully awake and understand the situation that we're in and the consequences that are coming, that are already here, but more are coming. It's frustrating because we're watching it happen in real time. And you know, I just wish more people would pay attention and expose themselves to the truth.
Yeah, I think you're not alone, Mark, with the feeling of frustration. I feel that all the time with seems like Canadians' inability to stand up to the plate and be men. Seems like we're living in a society of apathetic sheep that at this point in history, if you don't see the corruption and what's going on in our government, and it's not resonating with you and it's not alarming you, I don't know what to say to people. I get almost to a point where I want to scream at them that, you know, you're sitting here having conversations in the coffee shop about who won the hockey game last night, and our country is literally destroyed. What is it going to take to wake the sheep up? And I ask myself that question every day, Mark. Your feelings of frustration are shared, my friend. They really are. I'm sitting back here going, wow, you know, this is really, really a serious problem we've got going on in Canada. And why aren't the rest of my Canadian brothers and sisters waking up to this? It's a question I ask myself every day, Ron or Mark, and I just don't have the answer. I really don't, or I'd implement it right away.
I think a lot of us are struggling to find that answer. And I don't think there is a magic bullet. I think it's, you know, as much as patience is running thin, we still have to, you know, I think we have to, a lot of us just have to sort of, and I hate to say it, but almost accept the fact that the masses, the critical mass, while it's growing, and it's growing fairly quickly these days, is going to take time. People have to be directly affected. They have to be directly in the line of fire. And have their world sort of, you know, this bubble that they created for themselves popped, you know, by the consequences rather than, you know, popped by people like myself and yourself and others. I think that's just the reality. It's going to happen. And this is what I try to remind folks of, and even myself, I need to remind myself of, that it's inevitable. And I think I've mentioned this maybe on the previous show with you. I know I've talked about it a lot lately is, you know, it's inevitable, and I say it's inevitable because we are the truth, the folks that want truth, the folks that are speaking truth to power and opposing this overall agenda, we are on granite foundation. That foundation is built on the truth. It's built on integrity. It's built on morals. And so, you know, I liken it to a 10-lap race, and, you know, the globalists are on lap 7, and we're just getting our shoes tied. But once we hit the track, of course, the globalists, they're running in a swamp. They're running on perception. They're running on lies. They're running on this really, really mushy foundation that's built on something that I really, truly believe goes against human nature. in order for them to achieve global governance, in order for them to achieve all the goals of sustainable development, which is basically mirroring the Communist Manifesto, in order for them to achieve the goals, they have to use propaganda. They have to use lies. They have to use manipulation to forward their agenda. While it's working, and it has worked for a number of years, the fact remains that their foundation is built on BS. And so once that's exposed, not only through the work that we do, but just naturally by what they're promoting and what they're pushing forward, once that's exposed to the general masses and once the consequences are felt directly, then truth will win. Truth will come out. The people will win. And we have an advantage. You know, we compare a lot to what's happening now to what historically happened with, you know, Nazi Germany or Communist Russia, you know, the 1917 revolution and how they were able to achieve what they achieved through their agenda, but we're in different times now. We're in a time where information sharing, just like we're doing right now, and we do on social media and YouTube and all these other platforms, is information is much easier to get out and expose to people than it was historically. So I really truly believe that it is inevitable that we will win. It's just a matter of how much pain we're going to have to endure before we realize that win. And so that keeps me going. I mean, you know, again, Barry, if I was, you know, if I continued to look at things negatively without any hope, without any without really truly analyzing what's happening, I'd probably be gone to the bush, living in a cabin somewhere in northern Saskatchewan or BC or wherever, and preparing for what's coming. But I can't give up, and one of the reasons I don't give up is because I still have hope. I think human nature will rise above this. And I mean, I spoke in my speech yesterday at a rally we had in Saskatoon, and I said, you know, the neat thing about humanity is we have a sort of innate sense of freedom, especially in Western civilization. While we're spoiled and we've been too comfortable and we've never really had to exercise our rights to freedom of speech, to freedom of assembly, to freedom of the press, all these things, it's sort of just we've taken it for granted. The fact still remains that it is part of our DNA. And once folks understand and see that those freedoms are under attack, the values that we share across this country are under attack, and really throughout Western civilization, once they realize that those values are under attack, there will be a critical mass of people that are opposing it and coming together to defend those values. I believe that, and if I didn't, I wouldn't be talking to you.
I believe the same thing, Mark. It's just what it is going to take to that trigger point. We talk about it directly impacting people in their lives. My only concern about that is if it gets to that point, can we be able to stop it? It gets to a point where it's directly impacting people. It might get to the point where we can't stop it, Mark. I don't want to say we can't. I just, you know, these are thoughts that go through my head all the time. You know, I look at what's information's available now to people. And to me, there's just absolutely no reason for people not to understand what's going on right now, because it's right in our face. They're not hiding anything anymore. The agenda is black and white, and it's right there for you to see. All you have to do is look.
Right. Well, and I mean, we have to give credit where credit's due. The media has done a masterful job. The globalists, the elite 1%, I mean, they know what they're doing. They're not stupid. They understand how propaganda works. They understand how psychology works on a mass scale. They've used the media extremely effectively. And I mean, it's in our movies, it's in our TV, it's in our sports, it's everywhere, right? So it's in our education system, it's in our bureaucracy, our politicians. I mean, it's everywhere. So we're bombarded with this. So is it going to take an enormous amount of pushback to oppose it and to win? Yeah, absolutely it's going to. And you know, again, it's truth will prevail. It's just, again, it's how much we're willing, I guess, to accept and how at what point. I mean, I could be sitting in a gulag with you sharing a cigarette, but Barry, and I'd still be fighting to take back what we had. And you know, so, I mean, the fight will never die. It doesn't matter how much they accomplish. Now, when you look at the sustainable development and the Agenda 2030 and the 17 goals, I mean, it encompasses every aspect of our lives. And of course, you know, climate change and that whole scam, and now using COVID to push these agenda items and goals. I mean, it's enormous. And I mean, so for them to fully achieve and realize their goals, I don't think they're going to be able to achieve them. I don't think they're going to be able to get that far down their agenda to actually put it into place. Now, having said that, I mean, we're already under a form of global governance. It's already here, but it won't take much. Once we've got the critical mass, once we've got the people taking back their power, to then turn it around and say, you know what, we're done with global governance, we're done with globalism, we're done with the agenda, we're going to do what's in our best interest as a nation and what's in the best interest of Canadians. At some point, we will make it. We will get there as long as we stay the course and as long as we keep building and we keep talking truth to power and we keep, you know, doing these things. You know, ultimately, I think we'll win. I don't think they can achieve it. I really don't. I think what their whole plan goes against human nature. And again, it's an extensive plan. It's enormous. But it doesn't come without in-your-face consequences. And people will push back against it. It's just a matter of time. And as frustrating it is for folks like yourself and myself and others, we just got to stay the course and just keep doing what we're doing, and eventually we'll take it back.
Well, we've got to change it quick, Mark, because in Canada right now we're under a full-blown communist dictatorship, and people don't see it. We have Jagmeet Singh working with the Liberals with their backdoor deals, giving Justin Trudeau basically majority power again in Canada. There's nothing that they're doing that's being opposed in Parliament. All political parties in Canada right now are involved in the globalist agenda. They're all the same snake, just a different head on them. And if you think conservatives are going to come along and save the day, folks, boy, have you got an awakening. The only party that I've seen in Canada that really stands for Canadian values is the PPC. So, of course, that leads me to my next question. Are you running in the next federal election if it's announced as a PPC candidate?
Yeah, I mean, headquarters sent out emails to folks that were previous candidates, and I was one of them, of course, and I committed to it, of course. It's, you know, again, you know, I know there's a lot of folks that don't believe in the political system, and I tend to agree. I have a big problem with our system being broken at the moment. But you know what? The thing of it is, and I stay true to this, and it's a fact that, you know, I use my opportunity to run as a candidate as a platform to help educate people and raise awareness about the agenda that's coming down and that we're witnessing. So what the movement is bigger than politics. However, if we're going to educate the masses, and the masses, vast majority of the masses still believe in the political system, they still believe that, you know, to govern our country, we need this political system that we're in. And, you know, and as bad and critical as we can be of the system, it's still the system that created Western civilization. Democracy is a horrible system, but it's still better than anything else that's out there, right? So, I mean, and the fact of the matter is the masses still believe in the system that we are under. So in order to reach those same masses, you got to be in the arena. You have to be able, you know, to reach the masses through that and within that system.
I agree.
And so you're absolutely right. I mean, there is only one party politically that, if on a federal level, that understands what's happening and opposes this agenda and globalism in full. Like, it's not just piecemeal. Yeah, we're going to, you know, we sort of disagree with the carbon tax, but we're going to achieve the goals of Paris Accord through carbon pricing. Well, that's no different, right? And this is what the conservatives are trying to sell. They're you know, this mamby-pamby BS opposition that they claim. They're no different. They're exactly the same. They're the ones who committed to this agenda. They're the ones who brought in the Sustainability Act in 2008. They're the ones that signed it the first time in 1992. You know, so anybody that, that comes forward with an argument that the conservatives, we have to support the conservatives to get Trudeau out, is extremely shallow politically, and they don't understand, they won't go below the surface to understand how deep, how deeply committed the Conservative Party of Canada is, just as the Liberals are, just as the NDP, and of course the Greens, who were created to promote the agenda. I mean, the Greens around the world were created to promote the sustainable development agenda. So, I mean, anybody that offers an argument that the CPC is any different than the Liberals, I mean, they're simply lazy, they're simply, you know, promoting the party through blind loyalty, and they're part of the problem. They are a big part of the problem, that they don't go below the surface and understand exactly how connected and committed the CPC is to the globalist agenda. And right. and they are the problem. And I run into this on Twitter all the time, and it's extremely frustrating. So you talk about pet peeves. Well, this is a huge one, and it's ongoing, is these conservative folks that keep pounding the pavement and promoting the idea that the conservatives, we have to vote for them because they're the only ones that have a chance at winning. Well, if you want to vote for somebody who's going to win or that you think is going to win, why don't you vote for the one that already won? Why don't you stay with the Liberals then? If that's your argument, that you have to vote for somebody and your values mean nothing and your principles mean nothing, then vote the Liberals, because they're the ones that have the biggest chance of winning, because Ontario and Quebec are still asleep. So, you know, that argument doesn't hold water. It's extremely irritating. And this whole split the vote thing, I don't care. I don't care. I wouldn't be voting for the CPC if it wasn't for the PPC. If the PPC didn't exist, I wouldn't be voting. That's just a simple fact. And most people that support the PPC support it for the reason of globalism and opposition to it. And they wouldn't be voting for any of the other establishment, because if you vote for them, you are a globalist. So anybody that's supporting or voting conservative or liberal or NDP or green, you are a globalist and part of the agenda that's destroying our country. So it is what it is, and if people don't want to accept that, well, again, you're part of the problem.
Well, I agree with you, Mark. You know, I've never trusted any political party in my life. Like, they're, you know, to me, they've all just been lies, 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 deception, whatever they want you to hear to get elected. And then when they get in, they do whatever they want, and they run the country like a dictatorship. But then I looked at the platform for the PPC party, and everything there resonates with me as to his stance against everything that's destroying this country. So to me, I agree with what you said. We have to work within the system to reach the people at this point. We know the system isn't correct, but it's the only one that we can work with right now to stem what's going on in Canada. So if there is another federal election called, I will promote the PPC, because it's the only option we have right now. Things have to change in our government and our constitution to more suit the people of this country. But until that can happen, we really don't have a choice in this situation, because the rest of them are all just smoke and mirrors, my friend.
Well, and you're right. And so a couple of things. So, you know, I'll give you an example. The last federal party that I belonged to was the Reform Party, and for a lot of the same reasons. And so after the Reform Party basically turned into the Alliance, and then they sold themselves out to merge with the Red Tories, the PC Party, the McKay Tories, that was the last. I didn't renew my membership. I didn't get buy in membership to the new party, because I seen the writing on the wall, and I watched it. I watched it all happen. Now, of course, in that time, you know, I still voted CPC, but somewhat ignorantly and somewhat ill-informed, even as much as I understood at that point, and I could watch and see how the movement to the left, because any party, any entity that is committed to the Sustainable Development Agenda, to Agenda 2030, any entity that is committed to that is naturally going to move to the left, because the whole thing is one big socialist communist agenda. And so naturally anybody committed moves to the left. And I watched it happen. And then my support completely fell off, of course, after 2008, and they brought in the Sustainability Act, and then further, they signed on to the next incarnation of the 2030 agenda. And so, you know, it was all there. It's all there in black and white. Everyone can see it if they choose to see it. But the other interesting thing, Barry, is, you know, people say they're so disenfranchised with the system, and I get it, that they're they now promote, there's a faction of folks that promote, you know, this rebellion or revolution. And I really don't think those folks, as I understand the frustration, but I don't think they understand what that actually means. And so, you know, you have these folks that want to, you know, offer a different political solution, which, you know, whether it be constitutional conventions, you know, the Mrs. Canada, or even separation, you know, all of these things, it's going to boil down to an armed revolution or an armed insurrection or some sort of, you know, like serious business to bring down the system. If you want it done tomorrow or the next day, you're not even close to the amount of people that you would need in order to be successful. And then what does that success look like? I asked the folks over at Wexit and that whole movement to please tell me what your country looks like the day after. Like, are you able to defend your interest? Are you able to promote your interest? Are you able, for example, to get a pipeline to Tidewater to get your resources to the market? And the answer at one point was, well, we're just going to use the UN and get the UN to help us achieve that goal. Well, okay, so here's the thing. This is exactly what the likes of Soros and the Rockefellers and other globalists, Soros especially, they love to destroy nations. They love to bring down nation states around the world. They love to create civil unrest. They love to burn it all down because from the ashes, they come in and take control. And that's exactly what the separation movement is doing in Canada when you're promoting the idea of separating our country and breaking it up. The globalists are licking their chops waiting for this to happen because they're going to move right in and take control of this broken country, this divided, weak nation. And so, you know, for me, I'm still a federalist. I still believe in my country, and I'm a patriot to my country, and I will defend what my country represents. Does that mean it's easy? Absolutely not. Does that mean I got a whole lot of work ahead of me trying to wake up a whole bunch of people across the country? But there's 40% of people that don't disenfranchise. They don't vote. Those are the people that we need to get to. Those are the people that we need to help wake up. And if we can get those woken up with 30% of the other folks that you know, call themselves conservative, then we got a shot. But this is more than just conservatives. And I say this a lot, too. This is more than just I'm a conservative and I'm defending conservative values. It's so past this left-right dichotomy that they love to have us in, this division that they love to create. This is about Canadian values. These values that I represent, these values that I'm promoting and trying to defend, span all political entities in our country. This is about Canadian values that most of us, most Canadians share. This is so big. This attack on Western civilization and the values that represents is what's under attack. And that's what this is about. This is about nationalism versus globalism. It's not about left or right. It's not about blue or red or Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. Those days are gone. Those days are over. We need to unite under a set of core values like freedom, liberty, justice, prosperity, you know, tolerance, actual equality under the law, opportunity rather than outcome. All of these fundamental values that we all share, responsibility, those are the values that are under attack. Those are the values that we can unite around regardless of political affiliation. And let's come together and defend that and defend our country and beat this thing. And again, politically, right now, the only legitimate way to do that by, of course, needing critical mass, by needing the masses, is through the political system that we have. And then fix it once we have that unity and we have the power of the people behind us, then we can make the changes that are necessary to make it a system that works for our country, representing those values.
Ron, my guest the first hour there has made some really good points in the last 3-4 years talking with him, Mark. And one of the ways that we can take back the power is at the community level. And you know, when we had this conversation in the last hour, I've talked with Ron about this many, many times, and it is so true that if we could take back the power at our community levels. If we could stop the mayors from implementing the 2030 agenda, which they are instructed to do because they're all members of councils of mayor for whatever province they're in, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, there's a council of mayors for that province. They get together. They're instructed by the government on the agendas that they're going to perpetrate on the people. So if we could take the councils back at the local level and we can get enough people in the councils that are going to say no to these agendas. And Ron told me about one example up in Northern Ontario. I forget the name of the town, but there's only 5 members of the council in that town. Well, they had a council, an election, and 3 people that got into the council are absolutely 100% anti-Agenda 2030. So every time the council up there or the mayor tries to implement an Agenda 2030 program in the community, it gets shut down. And it is absolutely driving the mayor insane, but he can't do anything because the power is in the council. So if we could get people involved, Mark, and I'm talking to everybody that, you know, this to me is a no-brainer way of actually putting the brakes on a lot of the things that we see going on. If we can get the power back at the council level in our communities, we can stem the tide. We can say no to all these agendas being tried to bring the ramming down our throats. And it makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think about that? Mark, did I lose you? Hello? Uh-oh. Did we lose Mark?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Okay, well, maybe you can try and bring him back in. I don't know if you heard what I was saying or not. But,
no,
you
probably did not.
I was trying to get his feedback on that. But anyways, I'll run it by him again. Wonder what happened there.
I need to get the number from your page again.
Sorry, oh, folks.
I think that's it.
Hello there.
Hey, Mark. We lost you there.
Yeah, I figured that.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear anything that I said?
I didn't hear anything. Nope. It was just gone.
Oh, I wonder what happened there. Maybe they don't like what we're talking about.
Maybe.
But anyways, what I was saying, Ron, or Mark, is I had Ron Stevens on the first hour, and he really brought together some really good ideas about how we can stem the tide, and that is taking back the power at our municipal levels, at our council levels, and our local communities. That we can stop all the agenda being put forward in our communities by simply taking back the power at the council level. And I was saying, boy, you know, this really makes a lot of sense to me. We know that the mayors in each province attend a meeting every year for the council of mayors in that province, and they're instructed by the government how to perpetrate the Agenda 2030 programs. And if we could stop that at the local level, we'd really put a kink into their plan. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's enormous. I mean, this is exactly what the globalists have done, is they've skirted a lot of federal governments. They've skirted a lot of provincial governments, and they go straight to the municipal governments to achieve their goal. I mean, that's incredibly important. I've talked to lots of folks right here in Saskatoon, and I encourage them to run, you know, at least, at the very least, get out there, get a voice, get a platform, use the platform, and educate some people as to what's going on and how the municipal governments are doing this. So, yeah, it's enormous to do that on a local level.
Yeah, I think that would really really throw a kink into their plans if we get people to get involved at that level, Mark. And, you know, we're scratching our heads here. Like you said, we're frustrated. We're banging our heads against the wall. Well, here's a real solution to the problem, folks, so let's embrace it.
Exactly. No, absolutely. It's huge. And so you know, even if you live in a small town, get involved. Get involved in the political scene and stop the agenda. Stop it from being forwarded on a local level.
I got Billy Tike coming in next week, Mark. He is the leader of Action New Zealand, the new party that's formed in New Zealand. And I got Vinny Eastwood going to be joining me. And I had to talk this week with Vinny, and he says to me, he says, Barry, you're going to see something incredible happen in New Zealand. Mark my words. That the general conversations now in the public are that people in New Zealand are fully awake to what's going on, and he says you're going to see a change in this country, and it's going to shock the world. Mark my words. So I'm going to have Billy on next week. I'm going to have him on next week, Mark, and I'm really looking forward to talking to the gentleman. He is incredibly smart, And their party is just gaining attention in leaps and bounds because they're speaking the truth and people are hearing it. And boy, if that
happens. What's the name of the party?
Advanced New Zealand. Or New Zealand, maybe okay. Sure I got that right. Okay. Advanced New Zealand. But anyways, the party's only 140 days old, Mark. And it is just gaining momentum across the country like crazy. Vinny says it's the most exciting thing he's ever been involved in his life. And it's going to be on next week, folks. So please tune in and listen to what Billy TJ has to say. But anyways, that was a little off subject, but I wanted to bring that to your attention because if this does happen in New Zealand, a total grassroots party that their platform is absolutely 100% anti-globalist agenda that they put forward on their platform. If that happens in New Zealand, the ripple will be heard around the world, Mark. So I got my fingers crossed.
Well, and we're seeing that, and we are seeing this movement around the world. And it's like I said, that's one of the things, you know, when I talk about inevitability, is it's going to happen, and it is happening around the world because it has to. It's a natural response to what's happening. And so we're going to start seeing a lot more of these things coming up. You know, it's inevitable. And it's incredibly encouraging when I hear these stories that there's other groups and other parties and people that are against, you know, this whole anti-globalism movement, populist movement. It's as advertised. It's going to happen. And at the end of the day, we will win. And the world will look much different. And that's a good thing. The way the world needs to look a whole lot different. It's been a very long time since the nation state, the idea of the nation state has been promoted and protected. This agenda for a very long time of globalism and global citizenry and the destruction of the nation state has been going on for a long time. And so it is going to take some while. It's like, you know, turning a big diesel truck around on the highway. You can't just turn on a dime. You got to, you know, it's going to be a slow turn, but we are going to turn and take it back in the direction that it needs to go. And that is the nation state. And then those nation states that are promoting the idea of prosperity and freedom and liberty and all these things, you know, Western civilization represents, when those countries make that turn, there's the ability to align with these different countries and these different entities that have that same agenda, which the agenda in that case, of course, is nationalism and prosperity and working with other countries as we're supposed to do when we're talking about globalization. And so a lot of times people make the mistake of connecting or equating globalization with globalism. And the thing, they're two very different things. Although because of the globalist push, the two are very connected at the hip right now. But globalization is also inevitable. The more technology that we have when it comes to communication and transportation, the smaller the world gets on an economic level and on a trade level. So we have to understand that to prosper, we have to be part of that. But the difference being is these days that globalization is being controlled through global governance and the destruction of the nation state, where we should be turning that around and working with countries. But while each country is negotiating and moving forward on trade deals that are beneficial to their country first, right? So yes, does that cause a problem sometimes? Yes, it does. And that's where, you know, strength through power. And this whole idea of utopia, that globalism and global governance is going to rid the world of all of this nation states fighting each other, is hogwash. You're still talking about people. You're still talking about culture. You're still talking about, you know, norms that do not meet and do not align with each other. And this is what they're trying to force. And this is what goes against human nature, I believe. So, you know, we're heading in that direction, and it's going to happen again. It's just inevitable. It boils down to freedom, and it boils down to self-determination of a nation state and the people within it. And those are innate values. Those are innate feelings. And you to destroy that, you destroy freedom. To achieve their goal of global utopia, you need to destroy freedom and liberty and justice. And most people, once they're made aware, are not on board with that.
Yeah, but thousands of the millennial are being programmed to believe that's the way to go, Mark. And we really got to reach those people because they are being so deceived and programmed. You look what's going on in the school systems in the States, the programming that's going on there, the programming that's going on in all our school systems now. It's a monumental task we have on our hands. Everything that's happening in our society, even though it doesn't appear to be working together, is working together to destroy Western civilization. And it doesn't matter what we talk about, Mark. We could talk about what's going on politically. We could talk about what's going on to the health of our people alone, and how that has been destroyed, and how our bodies are now so toxic and our immune systems are so weak that we feel weak. We feel no energy. Like, I don't really care kind of attitude, because I'm more concerned about how bad I'm going to feel tomorrow morning when I wake up, because today something else happened to my body. All these things are absolutely working against us. And like I said, these people are psychopaths. They sat down, you know, years ago in think tanks and came up with ways to destroy our society. And everything they've implemented is working now. But it doesn't seem like it works together, but it's all part of a puzzle. Period.
Well, it's all demoralization. So all of these things, right down to health, it's all about demoralization. And I mean, when you talk about demoralization, not only in the, you know, in the sort of popular sense of demoralization, but actually think about the word. You're taking out the moral fabric of a nation, of the people of a nation, and you're destroying their morality. That's essentially demoralization, and it comes in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways. Yeah. But they knew exactly what to do to demoralize nation states and the people within, because that's how they achieve their goals. They want people to be sick. They want people to be depressed. They want people to be submissive and dependent on government, because once you get those people dependent and desperate, of course they're going to go to the first option that's given to them, like a CERB, for example, like a $2,000 a month to survive, you know, stipend that me and you are paying for. But of course they're going to use that fear of a virus, that fear of a pandemic, destroy the economy, destroy small business, everybody dependent, you know. And then you have all of these kids that were taught in school that, you know, there's entitlement and they're all given a trophy just for showing up. And now they don't even have to go to work to support themselves. And what is their selves? What do they do, generally speaking, these youth? They sit at home, they play video games and smoke marijuana, right? And they have a terrible diet and they're no exercise. And now the government's giving them $2,000 a month to do that. And that's more than enough if you don't do anything. And so the moral fabric of our youth is being completely destroyed. There's no pride. Why do you think suicide rates are up? Why do you think, you know, all of these things? And then, of course, you throw on top of that the attack on masculinity, the attack on boys. I mean, our education system is all geared toward girls. It's a feminist education system. And boys are being feminized. Boys are being emasculated. Why? Because those are generally the people that defend and stand and fight for freedom. So this whole thing, it's all connected. It's all about demoralization. It's making the people dependent on daddy. And in this case, daddy isn't just the federal government. It's this global governance. It's this global entity that wants to create this communist socialist utopia.
Yeah, well, you just hit it on the head, Mark. I mean, it's the attack on the family. If you destroy the family unit, any society, that society will fall apart. And you only have to study history to see that. And that's exactly what's happening. We have hit bottom as far as moral standard in North America. I mean, when you have drag queens telling stories in libraries, when you have a 10-year-old or 11-year-old drag queen appearing on the cover of a major magazine in the United States of America, posing with a naked trans, full-grown adult male, posing basically naked with that male, and that's being accepted by society, we really have hit bottom, my friend.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, just from a sociological, just from a sociological perspective. I mean, I'll take the Netflix Cuties show that they were promoting, openly promoting pedophilia. And so, you know, it, for me, that was, okay, that's it. I'm unsubscribing from Netflix. And so we get into this discussion with a few of my friends, and they're like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but what good is it going to do? Well, if that's the attitude that you have, then we're doomed. Because, I mean, everybody should be taking a stand and saying, okay, let's bring Netflix down with our wallet and say, you know what? We don't support you promoting pedophilia. How outrageous it is to even have to say that. But then people just say, well, what good does it do? If I just, I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to change anything. Well, you know what? I mean, now is the time where we have to take a stand and we have to be principled and we have to defend our values and unsubscribe and bring those entities, those corporations, those globalist corporations to their knees, destroy them financially. We have the power. We can do this, but we have to do it. We have to actually have, you know, the inspiration and the motivation to actually just stand for your principles and do it, regardless of what you think anybody else is going to do. Do what you believe. Defend what your values are. And if everybody did that, we'd be in a much better place. And this is, you know, I talk about this too, Barry, is, you know, we tend to focus on our government. We tend to focus on our politicians. We focus on the political system. But it, the responsibility lies in the people. The people have the power. It's our job to change the direction that we're headed. It's our job to defend the values we cherish. It's nobody else's. It's not my neighbors. It's not my friends. It's not my wife. It's not anybody else. It's my job to defend my values. If everyone took responsibility, Barry, we wouldn't be in this position.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. And we could also be down in California where they just legalized sex between adults and children. Can you believe that, man? Can you believe that, Mark, that we're living in a day where a state like California legalizes sex between an adult and a child if the child consents to it? Are we really going to another world, Mark? I mean, I feel like I've woken up on another planet. But, you know, these people, Mark, you give them an inch, and they're going to take a mile. And we're giving them inches all the time, and they've been taking miles, and now they're going 10 miles at a time, folks. And it really is something that we all have to look in the mirror and say, hey, this does not pass the smell test in any shape or form. What are we going to do about it? Because if we continue to let it go, it's not going to stop. What's going to be next? Sex with animals is legal. Okay, so you can be in a mall and have sex with your animal? I mean, is that how far it's going to go before people wake up, Mark?
Right.
I mean, my God, folks, come on. Stand up. That just, I read that, Mark, and it just, I'm just going like, but, you know, nothing really surprises me, these people, because they're going to push it right to the max until society stands up.
Yep. And you know, and then we're left, people like yourself and myself, and there's many others, too, that I have to, you know, I mean, that stuff inspires me. I can't let that stuff defeat me. I have to be inspired by it. I have to get that stuff to motivate me into action and use that anger and that frustration to what I'm seeing to keep fighting, to keep moving forward, to keep, you know, opposing and growing the movement. And so, you know, people get demoralized from seeing that stuff. They get dejected. And that's exactly what they hope to see. You know, it's like Kyle Rittenhouse, for example. You watch, you know, what he did in the streets against, you know, a communist enemy, an entity. That, to me, was incredibly inspiring. You saw a 17-year-old kid doing what he believes to be right in defending himself. And you know what? The attacks came. And some of the tweets that I put out in promotion of and support of Kyle and what he did, I took a lot of heat. And I got called a racist, and I got called a fascist, and I got called all these names. But I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm going to – he represents my values. And I'm going to defend and promote what this young lad did. And we need more of it.
You always got to look at where the attacks are coming from too, Mark. And then I don't give it any time of day, period. Because, you know, the people that are watching these attacks are calling us bigots and Islamophobes and racists. Well, that's all they have, because they have nothing else. We have the truth on our side. And the truth is going to prevail. It is going to prevail.
That's why they never debate. It's why they don't want public debate. They don't want the public square. They don't want to engage in discourse because they know they have no foundation. They have no argument. They have nothing to stand on, which is, you know, why I say that this whole agenda is built on a swamp. It's built on mushy ground. And we can win, and we will win because we have the truth, and we can defend our values. We can defend our positions because it's those positions and those values are built on granite foundation. And so, you know, again, that's where we win, and we have to push it, and we have to push the idea. I don't know if you're aware of Pat King, but I like what he's doing in Alberta with Antifa and BLM there. He's standing up to it, and he's actually promoting the idea of coming together, including the media, and let's have a round table with those folks. Let's have the debate. Let's have the argument, and let's see where it falls out. Let's expose this. Let's use the media that is in cahoots and in agreement with all this stuff and promoting this narrative. Let's use them, and let's to our advantage. Let's put it out there. Stop being afraid. Stop being scared. Stand up for your values. Get it out there, and we'll see. We'll see where this. I'm confident. I'm fully 100% confident that we get to that point, we win. And they know that. And that's why they refuse to get into the discussion. But we have to keep powering through with it.
Yeah, Pat King. I wish we had 10,000 Pat Kings in this country right now because we could sure use them. The man's got courage.
Yeah, absolutely.
I applaud him for that.
And he takes a lot of heat and he takes a lot of crap. And, you know, but he just keeps powering forward. And I admire that and I respect it. And, I, you know, there's things that I've disagreed and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. That's all stuff that, you know, is inconsequential and sort of, you know, outside. The point is you have a guy that's standing up for what he believes is right and standing up for what a lot of people believe is right. And he's sticking his head out to be chopped off. And that needs to be supported and you know, nurtured.
Absolutely. We're never ever going to agree on everything, Mark, but the fact is that we both are here. We're both here for the same reason, that we see the enemy, we understand what the enemy's doing, and we're just here trying to wake people up to it. At this point, I think it's a time for us to really put the foot to the floor because we are seeing Canadians starting to wake up. I'm going to say at an accelerated rate right now because I see that happening across the country. The demonstration on the 17th in Vancouver and Toronto, I believe they're coordinating that. Are you going to be able to attend either one of those by chance?
You know, I'm still considering heading out to the Vancouver one.
Okay, if you're there, I'm coming, okay? Because I'm considering it too. I'm thinking about jumping in my little car and driving down to Vancouver. It's just a matter of, Mark, I can get somebody to look after my dog. That's the only holdback right now that I have. If I can find somebody to look after my dog for 4 or 5 days, I'm going to jump in my little car. I want to come down and shake hands with you, buddy. So,
yeah, I mean, the only thing for me is my health. And you're probably aware I've been dealing with some health issues, some autoimmune issues. But it looks like I've got it under control with some medication. So I assume it's going to be still good by that point. And if it is, then I'm definitely going to head out there and take part in that.
Cool. I'll tell your brother I will buy you lunch. Okay.
Sounds good.
I want to give Laura Lynn a big hug, and I would love to meet Del Big Tree and all the other people that are going to be there. Yeah. It's going to be quite an event, and I've committed myself to going as long as I can find somebody to look after my dog, because my little car is not going to cost me a lot to drive down there, Mark. And I think a road trip is in order right now for me. So hopefully we could get together down there and we could sit and have some really good conversations. Like I said, it's on my radar right now, and it's just a matter of me finding somebody to sit my dog. So say a little prayer out there, folks, that I can find somebody to sit my dog, because I really like to come down to Vancouver for 3 or 4 days. But all that being said,
I look forward to it.
Yeah, it would be fun, man. Laura Lynn, man, that's one lady that, you know, I talk about her a lot because she has just got courage like you wouldn't believe, Mark.
Oh, unbelievable energy. I don't know where she gets that energy.
Yeah, I mean, every day, folks. Well, every day, folks, she does a show, and if you want to hear a lady really talk that's got it together and is a true soul, tune in and listen to Laura Lynn Thompson. You can find her on Facebook or on YouTube. I think her ban on YouTube's just about over, but you can find her on Facebook. So go listen to what Laura
Lynn has to say.
say.
We've got about 9 days to go. I'm actually waiting for that band to be lifted. Yeah. To join her on her show as well.
And oh, and Shake and Wake. By the way, Annie, Shake and Wake, she has given you permission to play her shows on your network anytime you want. Sorry, Mark, I wanted to add that to Annie because she was asking me about talking to Laura about playing her shows on Shake and Wake Network, and we're all good to go on. The more exposure for that woman, the better. She's had some incredible guests on, man. Incredible guests. But then, no, David Icke is on tomorrow with Doug Force. You might want to listen in what he has to say. He's going to be talking with Rocco Gagliardi tomorrow on a show tomorrow morning at noon Eastern. And you can find it on Facebook under the Myth of Canada. So I'm going to tune in to that one. Yeah, David Icke, he's a pretty cool guy. A lot of things he says I don't agree with, but a lot I do. So
yeah, I had him on my show there last week, and you know,
yeah, that's true. You did. How did that go? I didn't get a chance to listen to that.
It went fantastic. It was a great interview, and you know, some people, you know, they buy into, of course, the narrative that's built around David, and you know, a lot of it came at because of his own words a number of years ago. You're talking about lizard people, talking about being the son of God, and all these things. But he, you know, he addressed that. He addressed it on London Real with Brian Rose. He addressed it again on my show. And put some context into what that is. But if you do a search on David Icke, of course, on Google, the only thing you'll find on the first three pages is this crazy talk. And that's, of course, because they want to demonize and vilify and make him sound like a crazy person, you know, to stop people from listening to what he has to say. But at the end of the day, again, I had him on my show. We talked about those things, and then we got into the whole business of globalism. And I mean, the guy has been at this. He's the godfather of you know, conspiracy theory or conspiracy realism, right. and addressing globalism and addressing the agenda. And I mean, the guy is a powerful voice, and he's an educated voice. And I mean, the guy has a lot to offer, and people are getting it, and people understand it. And so, you know, anybody that just discounts somebody because of some previous statements that they've made. Listen, I don't agree with everybody. In fact, I don't agree. There isn't one person that I agree about everything with. There, I hope not, because we're individuals. We're people with that think for ourselves, or should be. And this whole idea of groupthink, that we all have to think the same way, that's communism. We don't want to think like that. We want to think individually. We want to use our own mind to come up with our own ideas. And so we have to be tolerant of that. We have to let people say what they want to say. And you may not agree, but that's okay, you know. And let's have the debate on that issue or this issue. You know, these we've been so sort of programmed that everybody has to agree on everything. No, we don't, you know.
Well, it'd be an awfully boring world, wouldn't it, Mark, if we all thought the same, agreed on everything. Right. Come on, man. Right. I mean, I get people on, we all get people on our shows all the time, Mark, that we're not going to agree with everything they say, but we're here for the same reason. And that's what we focus on. You know, I said, I get people on, of course, that I'm not going to agree with some of the things, but it doesn't matter. And in the same mouthful, I want my audience to hear their opinion, because then it gives it people
to
formulate their own thoughts on what's being said.
And that's the irony of what the globalists do, because they keep promoting. I mean, Trudeau, you know, is being the puppet of the globalist that he is. He's never shut up about diversity. But it's actually what he's doing is attacking the idea of diverse thought, of diversity. They don't want diversity. Ultimately, they want a monoculture around the world. They want everybody to be the same. They want drones. They want nobody thinking for themselves. They want one big, enormous groupthink globe. And that's the antithesis of diversity. So, you know, this whole idea, they're using the language of diversity to create an anti-diversity utopia. It's insane. But the irony is thick. But that's ultimately what they want.
Yeah, and the programming runs deep, Mark. And the best thing that people can do is get rid of that TV out of your house. There's the first step to deprogramming yourself. I did that almost seven years ago now, Mark. It was the best thing I ever did in my life, buddy, because I go to the internet now. I learn stuff.
Absolutely.
So there's the first thing you can do, folks. And hey, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show here, Mark. The hour's gone really quick. It always does when I have conversations with you. So I want to thank you today for coming back in and having a chat with me. Always enjoy it. and share with people where they can find you and on your social medias before I have to book out of here.
Sounds good. Thanks, Barry. And again, I appreciate, you know, the platform that you give and that you provide, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing. I mean, you're playing a big part in all of this, and it's greatly appreciated. So, yeah, you know what? And I should give an update. So the organization that I'm part of and helping to build, the Forum for Canadian Sovereignty, of course, we have the website, which is www.ffcs.info. Or alternatively, www.stand4freedom.ca. We'll take you to the same website. You know, sign up there. Sign up to our mailing list. We send out, you know, information through that mailing list. And, of course, we update the website fairly regularly. But we're building something that's nationwide. We're the only NGO in Canada that's opposing globalism and opposing the agenda. We are registered as a nonprofit, and right now we are on a fundraising campaign. We're trying to raise as much money so we can do a lot of big things. One of the things that we're planning right now is a summit, a anti-globalism summit, we'll call it, and with names that, you know, people will recognize. They know who they are, and we're putting that together. We're putting that roster together now, and we're going to make this thing, you know, enormous. That's one of the things that we're doing. So, we have a lot of other plans, a lot of other things that we're trying to achieve, and of course, supporting all of these protests as well. So that's keep me busy and hopping. You can reach me there at through that website. Email is info@ffcs.info, and of course, my YouTube channel, Grizzly Patriot Mark Friesen. Search on YouTube, you'll find me there. As long as I can hang around there. And of course, you know, Facebook and Twitter, you can find me there as well.
Well, Mark, all I can say is thanks for everything you're doing, buddy. I know you put a lot of hours in every day fighting for the country. And I appreciate having people like you on my show because you have a heart that's real. And I feel that, and I enjoy my conversations with you. Bless you for everything you're doing, my friend.
Thanks, man. Nice to be recognized by people such as yourself.
Well, folks, you know, that's the show for this week. And to say that I've enjoyed this immensely would be an understatement. I'll be back next week. I've got a couple incredible guests lined up, and look forward to having another conversation with you folks. Have a great week. God bless you all. And thanks for joining me. Bye for now.